Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm Fran McNeil, and joining me in the studio this evening is Cheryl Childers, Wisdom Arts Leadership. Cheryl, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking some family time out and being available tonight. So it's
thank you, Fran.
It's
really nice.
Today.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Really nice to be here. I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to have a little chat with your audience.
Yes, yes. And we were actually chatting a little bit before the show started, and it's kind of fascinating the power of technology and being able to find folks online and reach out and strike up a conversation. So
absolutely,
we're going to kind of take our private conversation and make it public. So you had a very fascinating background. And when I asked you prior to the show, you know, how did you get started as an entrepreneur? You really had kind of many threads to the quilt. And so I was hoping that you could share those with the audience. They come from parental influence, they come from music, they come from creativity. So sort of bring all those together and share with us your entrepreneurial journey.
Absolutely. It has been very interesting and unpredictable. You know, it started when I was very young. I think I was fortunate enough to grow up in a family that was super positive, especially my mother and the women in our family. And, you know, I grew up in the South, and it was the 70s, and I think that they were very, very ahead of their time and in their ways of thinking. My mother worked, and she was quite successful, and she told me at a very, very young age I could do whatever I wanted to do, and I believed her. And, you know, I, over the course of time, as I was sharing with you, certain experiences that I had sort of sealed the deal for me and proved that she was right in my mind. She had a lot of self-help books around the house that were popular at that time that I ended up reading by the time I was 7 or 8. And also, you know, I had experiences, whether it be, you know, being a piano player and beating out 16-year-olds when I was 5, or, you know, sitting at the side of a pool and visualizing a dive off the high dive or gymnastics before I did it, and realizing that if you really believe it and if you think and plan the steps to get there and apply yourself, obviously, you can actually create anything you want to create. And I think those very early experiences had a giant impact on me and my thinking. And it's still there after all these years.
Well, I think there's a song like that. It's still here after all these years.
Yeah, but, right. Yeah, it's a good song.
It is a good song. Well, you know, the early impact and the power of experiences, how did that influence the kind of work that you got into when you were of the age to officially work and be part of the workforce?
I decided to leave North Carolina after high school. I wanted to get a record deal. And I first went to UT Knoxville, and then I got an exchange, a national exchange to California, and I walked into someone's office at Warner Brothers. If he's listening, he'll know who he is, with no appointment, and sat in the mm-hmm. lobby until he decided he would see me. And shortly thereafter, I got a record deal, and I left the music business ultimately because I just didn't like the music business. I still make music mm-hmm. these days, but it's, you know, for my own sake. And then I fell into a job by accident at a very large and reputable advertising agency. And I tended to be the sort who rolled up their sleeves and solved problems and didn't really understand the different, you know, levels of people and how that all worked, because I never really planned to be in a corporation. And that all worked for me because I was able to sort of, you know, solve problems in different ways, ways that most people within a company wouldn't think of solving. So that ended up working in my favor because of the kind of advertising agency it was, and I was very, very fortunate to have the support of the people around me. And over time, as like I said, it kind of snowballs. Like the more sort of affirmation that you get that this is working, you're taking risk, and maybe you're taking bigger risks, and maybe you're opening your mouth or raising your hand or showing someone a new way. And over time, as that continues to work and work better and work better, it creates a groove in your brain that's a pretty easy path to go down, I think. And also it became something that I honed over time. You know, I'm not a risk taker necessarily just for the sheer, you know, thrill of taking a risk. I try to think, you know, form a hypothesis, and is this an educated plan or is this completely crazy or is it somewhere in between, and what is the tolerance for risk with the people involved, and go from there. So I just have tended to follow that path, not even on purpose, but I think it's just who I am. I'm one of those people who tends to get bored a little too easily, and so I'm always trying to create what's next.
So speaking of creating what's next, in order to do that, when I was looking at your bio, I saw the words purpose and values. And, you know, for you, where do purpose and values fit in with the name of your business, Wisdom Art Leadership?
Well, that's a great question. I think that for me, purpose and values is really the whole thing. I mean, we're put here on this planet to do what? I mean, you could choose 15 different jobs, 15,000 different jobs. And I think for me, what I try to instill in my clients and actually everyone around me is that there's a purpose why you're here. And you don't have to choose one necessarily, but you do have to get in touch with your most authentic self. So that you can go toward or down the path that you're meant to go down, and also the path that brings you the most joy. And I often find that, you know, joy and money go together. It's not that you have to, you know, be joyful and live in an ashram, although you can if you want. And I think for me, leadership and wisdom, there's a lot of leaders these days that are really focusing in on purpose and vision and understanding how to build companies based on cultures and engagement and retention because they care about people and their lifestyles, and it's more human. I think there's a trend toward that these days. And to do that and to make money at the same time and to be global, I think there's an art to that. So that brings in the arts piece. And I also
As opposed to the science.
Yeah, I think, you know, the two go hand in hand, but I believe that, you know, anyone who practices, you know, being a leader is a practice, like medicine is a practice. I think that you have to practice leadership, and then you hone your skills, and that's the art part. You know, you're always getting better and better, and you're figuring out what mistakes you made and learning from your mistakes. And, yeah, I think that's artful. Also, you know, how you combine the different aspects of your life. I don't think that anyone could really truly say they separate business from their family these days. I think that, you know, people are working at home, people are commuting and flying all over the world, and they're online. And I feel like your life is this one big tapestry, and how you create your life in a way that serves you and your family and your business and maybe even giving back really is an art form. And I think that a lot of people these days struggle with, you know, what does that look like on my calendar, you know, and where do I live?
Right. I don't know if the tapestry has a calendar, so that may be
part
of the
right.
It takes time to create tapestry.
Yes,
although there is this sense of a pattern. And sometimes the pattern emerges, sometimes the pattern is there, and it's crafted into the process.
Absolutely.
Well, Cheryl, tell us a little bit more about the specific work that you do in your business and the kinds of clients that you most enjoy working with?
Okay. I work with people from all walks of life, and I most enjoy people who are up for a challenge. So I'm not the kind of person who's going to let you sit with me or sit on the phone with me for months and months and months and not have anything happen. I like to push people a little beyond their comfort zone, in a gentle and caring and empathetic way, of course, but I feel like I ask people to go deep, and I ask them to uncover what's stopping them. You know, in many cases, as we talked about, that can be something in childhood. Maybe the third grade teacher said something that made this person believe something about themselves, and we try to uncover whatever the stops are. I mean, it's not therapy. We don't go back and reevaluate your childhood, but we do take a look at, like, okay, where does fear come up? And how is that serving you and protecting yourself? And what do we need to do to push through that? Or what needs to be grieved? Or what needs to be uncovered and examined to move past that? And then we set some pretty well-defined goals, which it's amazing to me, the statistics. I can't remember what they are specifically, but I remember seeing statistics about how many people plan the next year, and then how many people write down their goals, and then how many people actually look at their goals. And when you get down to how many people actually look at their goals and do something about it every day, it's like 1 to 5%, maybe 5% tops. And that's amazing to me, you know,
because
it's just, you know, it's actually a pretty simple equation of how to make something happen. But a lot of people get in their own way. And so I'm a giant proponent of organizing yourself around your goals and your purpose and your vision. And a lot of time spent with clients is really about designing their lives. So, and I really like to work with, you know, positive people that are up to something cool. It could be any kind of business, like I said, but somebody who's looking for growth.
Looking for growth. And that growth, they can define. It might be revenues. It might be employees.
Yeah.
It might be geography.
It could be anything. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've worked with people on marketing campaigns. I've worked with people to get a new product out to market. I've worked with people on, you know, business issues within their business, with employee issues or retention and engagement. Or I've worked with people on uncovering what they want to do next if they're leaving a big company and they're, you know, going out on their own. Or I've worked with people leaving a company and not wanting to work anymore. Or how do they, you know, financial equations in terms of how to reorganize and reimagine their lifestyle and where they live. And or people who are creative that don't know how to put their creativity into a business model. It's kind of all over the place, but it's great because it's so much fun for me because I'm helping people craft what is most authentically them. And to me, that's my purpose.
You used the word, as I mentioned, even in our pre-interview, you used the word authentic very often. For you, what is the definition of authentic, and why is it so important as a core value for you?
Yeah, I do use that word a lot. You're right. It's one of my pet peeves when I feel like someone's living a life that they maybe just decided they should do that to make money, or maybe their parents decided for them, or maybe society gave them pointers that you need to go this way, when in fact their true self or their soul's calling is locked inside their mind and only allowed to come out on vacation or when they're reading an inspirational book or something. Because I think for me, authenticity means being true to yourself and really knowing yourself and knowing what that is and doing the work to get to that, because it's not always forthcoming. Some people really don't know. And they may have had years and years and layers of denial about what that might be. And I think that sometimes the biggest work that we can do is to uncover what brings us the most joy and how to take that joy and turn it into a profitable business, or to take the business that we have and make it even more profitable, or to grow globally, or whatever it is that the next level of joy looks like authentically for us.
Very, very inspiring. So you come from a place of encouragement. You talked about earlier how in your family there are strong women that were very supportive and encouraging of you. When you have those moments where you need additional motivation or encouragement, are there quotes that you refer to or things that you think about to help refocus you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I do have certain quotes floating around in my head. One of my favorites is, of course, a Steve Jobs quote, but I'll read it for the audience. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. And I think that long before I saw that quote, I was living by it, probably since I was about four. And no accident that I ended up doing what I did for a living for many years. But I think that in addition to that and sort of that general philosophy that I carry around, I also have a very, very strong support network of a lot of amazing, soulful, intelligent people, and I think that that is just invaluable. You know, when I get stuck, I pick up the phone, and I whine, and I become like a little kid, like everyone does sometimes, and I say, I don't know how to do this, I can't do it, I'm crazy, I have lost my mind. And they talk me down off the ledge, and they remind me of where I've come from and what I've accomplished and what I'm capable of. And I go, oh, yeah, that's right. And I think we all, you know, we're human, and we all need reminders. And whether it's a sticky up on your mirror with a quote that you need to read every day, or if it's a friend you need to have a little, you know, call with once a week, or you know, working with the coach, which is one of the things that I do for a living, I find that invaluable because we're all human, and like I said, and we all need that connection, and we all need that reminder every once in a while. I don't think anyone can do it alone.
No, we didn't get here alone. And
right.
The support is very important. You are in the business of being a business coach, and Wisdom Arts Leadership is a business that you've grown. I am sure at this point many of our listeners are now saying, wow, I'd like to find out more about Cheryl. A friend mispronounced her name in the beginning. So
okay.
How do I spell her name correctly? So it's Childers, and it's Business
right.
Leadership. Cheryl, where can people get in touch with you, and how can they best work with you?
My website is wisdomartsleadership.com, and people are free to email me, Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L, at wisdomartsleadership.com. And usually what we'll do is we, you know, when someone's interested in general and working together, we'll set up a quick call and sort of evaluate whether it's a match. And I quite frankly, like, don't generally want someone to work with me if they're not going to get anything out of it. So if I feel like I can help you go toward what you're moving toward, then awesome. And if I don't, then I can probably refer you to someone who can.
Right. And I think as I listen to you, that is, again, part of authenticity. You
right.
Want to do the things that you are coaching, and really be authentic in terms of how you support people.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Your business has grown over the years, and you have been in different businesses. I mean, being involved in piano competitions at age five, you were performing. You literally mm-hmm. were in the business of art, writing music, being in the entertainment industry, being in the advertising industry. That is a very competitive, creative industry as well. Where mm-hmm. do you see your business going in the future?
Well, you know, one of the things I'm focusing on right now is really expanding my reach. And I'm doing that. I'm actually taking a little retreat this autumn to, I'll still see clients, but I'm going to rent a little log cabin in the Appalachian Mountains and write some courses around, you know, artful design for a living, which is really about what we're talking about, creating a life that you love, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, how to manage your balance between work and home and how to create the business that you need to create or the job that you need to create. So I'm working on that, and I'd also like to be involved with a few more nonprofits and maybe some corporate responsibility programs at corporations and get a little more into helping people who are trying to give back to the planet and to the world. I'm interested in doing a little bit more of that now that my business is solid. And, I kind of, you know, I'm looking at ways like doing the show to expand my reach and work with different people and from different, you know, different businesses.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, definitely consider the Significant Business Results community as part of the community that you can reach back out to after your retreat. I love that you are practicing what you encourage others to practice. So taking the time out to rediscover yourself, to give yourself the quiet space, to be creative, to think about the future, and combine work and life and family. It's just wonderful. It really is wonderful. How can we support you, we being the listeners, we being the business coaching community, we being a community that connected by technology?
Well, I appreciate the offer, first of all, and I would say, yeah, just send anybody my way who feels like a fit, especially if they're looking at either expanding their business or looking at a life change or possibly struggling with, you know, any kinds of performance issues at work. I'm really good with people, especially, you know, managing and leading people from an authentic place. Mm-hmm. There's that word again.
Mm-hmm. It's a great word. I wanted to highlight it because I hear you using it. So, yeah.
It's really, you know, I just, I mean, it's one of the things, you know, I'll go one step further and say that when I did work for a big advertising agency and managed, you know, 400 and something people, I used to teach them to either come from love or fear. And those of us who've read the pop psychology books know all about that. But it was really powerful for them, really powerful, especially for young folks coming into the company, and really created some very amazing results. Mm-hmm. And I think that love ultimately is the most authentic place, and I bring that up because I think what's behind authenticity is really, you know, love and the general way of, you know, the natural way of being is not fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was for a moment there, my heart stopped when you said, you know, love or fear, and I'm thinking, wow, fear is really painful and dangerous and very unpleasant. But I imagine there are some people that try to fear, and then once they get sort of beaten down, they probably naturally say, there might be another way. But I'm hearing your voice, laughter and joy. You talked about joy. And if I go back and listen, I think you giggled at least 5 times. And so that's powerful.
I was known for that at my company. Yeah, at the advertising agency. Yeah. I was known for laughing in the face of really crazy problems. Because, you know, at the end of the day, any business, I don't care what business you're in, it's a business. And you really have to take it all with a grain of salt. You really have to keep your perspective. You really have to be committed but somewhat unattached so that you can see the big picture. And that's a lot of what I talk about in my coaching as well, is how do you walk that line of commitment and strong commitment. But, you know, remaining a spirit of the world, you have to remain somewhat unattached so that you don't die from a heart attack or, you know, whatever.
Right. Things that happen to people. Right. And you can leave the job and then enjoy being with your family, get have a nice dinner, a good night's sleep, and come back with your full self. And be ready to contribute in a way that represents your a contribution that's valuable based on the role that you play. Cheryl, it's really been a pleasure. I truly enjoyed listening to you, talking with you. I'm going to ask you one more time to let folks know how they can get in touch with you, and then we're going to wrap up for the evening.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been really enjoyable. I appreciate the opportunity, and folks can reach me at Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L, at wisdomartsleadership.com. Thank you so much.
Terrific. Oh, sure. Thank you. And folks, please follow up with Cheryl, check out her website, get on her mailing list, and recognize that Significant Business Results Radio really brings you significant entrepreneurs with great stories, lots of insight, energy, and the opportunity to help you reflect on the entrepreneurial journey. Join us as we continue to uncover and discover great entrepreneurs.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.